Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and as always, I thank you for listening to this program and to our AFR network. Joining me in studio to co-host is Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
So your dad just sent you pictures of your
my great-grandparents. I'd never seen pictures of them. And now the people are going to laugh.
Louis, how did your dad find them?
Well, they're visiting. My dad is up in New England. He lives in Florida. He's up in New England.
Oh, not your great-grandparents. They're not visiting.
No. No.
I thought, man, I got to find about their vitamin regimen right there.
Well, you eat spaghetti sauce long enough,
man,
you live till you're 130.
Yeah, I thought, man, they should be on some kind of news show. But anyway, no, it's not them.
It's not them. It's my dad's visiting his sister and other family. So someone must have had these photos, but it's a picture. I didn't even know their names. Luigi and Lucia. Now this would be Cancian.
Italians?
It's on my grandmother's side. They're Italians, yes, from northern
Italy. So they were
Italy.
Are those pictures of them in Italy? Or
I don't know.
Your family
to,
already here?
I'm going to have to
What generation are you?
I think
American,
fourth generation, I think.
Fourth generation American.
Yeah. And my dad doesn't even speak Italian, but my grandparents did. And my great-grandparents were, you know, born and raised in Italy. So,
by the way, speaking of Italian food,
I didn't know we were speaking about Italian
food.
Well,
that's the first thing I think of, Ed, when somebody mentions Italian.
The first thing, Fred Jackson, who we're going to introduce here in just a minute, he's in studio. But the first thing, when I was showing this before the show,
right,
the first thing he thought of wasn't food. He said, so, were both of them in the mafia?
Wow, that's just so wrong and hurtful.
It is.
It's an ethnic stereotype that needs to go the way of the past.
And I'm going
to
tell you something else. I'm on a tear today. I heard I was watching some football
yesterday.
Remind
me to get back to the Italian food thing, though. You're going to make me lose my train of thought. Go ahead.
And I heard a Hardee's commercial, and they were, because their big thing is, we've got the meats. But they had some sort of Italian sandwich or something, and they were talking about, you know, what if your kids ask, you know, about this sandwich, you answer them, and they said, you tell them Hardee's has the meats, Luigi. And I thought, now that's just insulting.
That is.
And at first, because.
How can you get away with this in this day and age?
2016, and they're making fun of Italian names because
like
they got an Italian sandwich. Plus, it insults my great-grandfather, who I just discovered had the name Luigi.
Yeah, I'm feeling you, man.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
All right, back to the Italian.
If you want to form some kind of group, I'll make a donation. Okay.
Oh, well, now we're
talking.
That's
if I have any money left after I go to the Italian restaurant.
Italian food thing.
Something happened to me the other day. Allison, my wife, and I had to go to Montgomery to speak.
Right.
So it's 3.5-4 hours from Tupelo to Montgomery. You go through Birmingham, right?
Yes.
So we leave Montgomery in the middle of the afternoon, and I said to her, you know, to my wife, I want to go eat some good food in Birmingham. We deserve it. You know,
right,
we've been traveling so long.
Oh, yeah.
So we got this thing about going on the internet and looking up best restaurants, TripAdvisor and all that stuff. We like to find local stuff, not
right
chains.
Not a
chain. We can eat at chains. I'm not against chains. I eat at chains all the time, but I, you know, like to find the
local flavor, where the locals
go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we looked up Birmingham best Italian restaurants and found this place. And I won't name the name. Went there and sat down and looked at the menu, and there's no lasagna.
No lasagna?
No, I'm not kidding. No lasagna on an Italian, one of the highest rated Italian restaurants in Birmingham. No lasagna on their menu. I know. You're looking at me like I looked at the waitress.
Well, I'm trying to figure out why.
Or server, excuse me. Whoa. Waitress, that was sexy.
That's like no spaghetti.
Server, I mean. That's what I said.
No spaghetti.
I said, where's the lasagna? I want lasagna. Sir, we don't have that. We have this to choose from, which is similar. No. You're an Italian restaurant. I want lasagna. You know, yeah. I don't mean to be difficult with you here, but it's not. And then the anyway, it was a
Allison, big disappointment.
It was yeah, it was a big disappointment
because whatever I'd gone out of my way.
Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't. I don't. I can't imagine not having foods like ravioli, lasagna,
right.
Because that's what most people get used to.
Well, somebody said it was an American Italian thing. It was anyway.
Well,
it was, so it was. I just thought.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
Oh, you know, well, I thought to myself, our country is over.
When you can't even get lasagna at an Italian restaurant.
Right. That's in Revelation somewhere.
Pretty sure it's not, but I see where you're coming from.
I think it's in the book of Revelation.
I hear your
And
heart.
The day will cometh that thou will not be able to get lasagna in Italian.
Because it says something about the, you know, the wheat and the barley, but don't touch the oil and the wine, you know, so.
No lasagna.
The lasagna's...
Okay, folks, save your emails. I know that's not in the Bible.
Yes.
Okay.
So the literalists
please, out there.
Please,
for your literalists, don't tell Tim, please get this message to Tim. It does not say anything in the book of Revelation. I'll get a couple of those kind of emails.
Yeah.
All right, Trivia Friday will be Friday.
Yes.
All right?
Right. This
but right
is not...
now, we're serious.
Yes.
But no lasagna.
Moody Monday.
No lasagna in an Italian restaurant is serious, okay? To me, it is anyway.
Yeah.
Fred Jackson's in studio with us. Fred was.
I spit on
one.
You're making it really hard to follow.
Well, we are, but you were the one with the ethnic.
Yeah, that's right. I spit on thee.
The ethnic stereotype about Italians and the mob.
You're dead to me.
Speaking of Italian food.
Right.
I have to tell you, I had spaghetti and meatballs this weekend.
That's what I'm talking about.
But it was meatless meatballs.
What?
What? Yes. Tofu? What did you make it?
Meatless meatballs.
Would you do?
We had an all vegetarian, semi Italian meal.
No, that's wrong too, Fred.
Well, why call it a meatball? There's no meat.
Right. But what
Where's
is that about?
Meat?
There's no meat, Fred.
What was it made out of?
It's made out of vegetables.
Whose plan was this?
Whose plan? Well,
yes.
My wife has introduced us to vegetarian food.
So
and the spaghetti was made from rice.
Well, I've heard of different types of spaghetti.
Yeah,
some even talk about spaghetti squash. I never had that.
Yeah, we've had that. That's good.
Is it good?
Yeah,
because you cut down on the carbs and it's
exactly.
You know. Mm-hmm. So did it taste the meatballs taste good
well,
or whatever
this
we call
is,
them?
Now here's shameless plug for Canada. All right. This is a firm up in the west coast of Canada.
Okay, so you've insulted Italians, but now you're going to promote Canadians. If you feel good about that, you know, Fred, that's
I
fine.
Do. So, but this is a company, and now you can find it in grocery stores all over the United States. And I was like you. I was extremely skeptical.
Sure.
You know, come on, meatless meatballs.
Right.
This is going to be like cardboard with ketchup on
right,
it.
Right, right.
So, but no. But it tastes exactly like beef.
Well, that's interesting. I'd be willing to send me a link.
And they have chicken that tastes like chicken, and it's not.
Yeah, but Fred, you know it's not meat. You know it in your heart that you're eating something that pretends to be meat, the substitute.
I know. Just...
Hey, listen, this is why I've told my wife, as long as I can put spaghetti sauce on it, I'm good. It's the sauce that I love.
Right, the meat sauce. We got to have meat in there, though.
Well, I've had meatless sauce before, and it's not quite the same.
It's not quite the same.
You got to have an Italian sausage and stuff. But
all right,
we're getting old, guys. We've got to cut back somewhere.
We've spent several minutes reviewing food recipes, which I don't know what that says. But you are listening to Today's Issues, not the Food Channel here on American Family Radio. But it'll be a while before I get over going to an Italian restaurant and they don't have lasagna.
I'm still not over it, and I wasn't even there.
I'll pull up the restaurant, show you the menu in a little bit to prove it. All right, so
Fred, we had you on for something.
Fred Jackson is news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. OneNewsNow.com. I wanted to talk about something a little bit more depressing. And that is the newest President Obama edict. We got to get this guy out of here. This is legally
and nonviolently. We're just making
that's
that
what
clear.
I'm saying. No, yeah. I'm not for a coup. I'm
right.
saying he needs to go golf every day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And quit making decisions for our country. From a Judeo-Christian point of view, he's horrible. And the latest, that's what we're going to talk about, the latest thing that he, and from a, not just from a Judeo-Christian point of view, just from a safety point of view, we're about to talk about something that he did last week. And by he, I mean his administration. Folks, you got the executive branch of the government, the three branches of government. Remember your civics class from ninth grade?
Right.
Executive, legislative, and judicial. Well, at the president controls the executive branch. The executive branch oversees these myriad of agencies that our federal government is comprised of now, which nobody even can keep up with. One of them is the Housing and Urban Development, HUD. You've heard of that. Well, what did President Obama tell them to do, Fred?
Well, basically, it's an
extension. That's what we're talking about, right?
HUD? Well, I was going to talk about the judge's decision in Texas.
Let me tell you about HUD.
Okay.
Real quickly, and you can tell us about that. Mm. Last week, I got a call. I did an interview with The Hill, which is a magazine, a publication in Washington, D.C., which covers Congress. And they told me, the reporter wanted to know my reaction, the reaction of the American Family Association, to the HUD announcement that they were going to tell the Salvation Army and all these homeless shelters across America they better make room for transgendered people, or they're going to have their funding cut off.
That's right.
By the government. Mm-hmm. So the Obama administration is going after homeless shelters if they have a problem with men showering with women.
Yep.
Or men sleeping in the women's quarters.
Yeah. If a man says, I feel like I'm a woman and I want to sleep over there with the women, and that homeless shelter says, no, sir, we keep male and female separate, then he can complain to the Housing and Urban Development group, and they can cut off any kind of assistance that they may be giving to this. So that's Obama, President Obama. This is what I'm talking about. Why would somebody do like that? Do something like that? It's somebody that hates the Judeo-Christian definition of sexuality. Mm-hmm. Ed, is there?
Yeah,
any
no, that's right. That these are two mutually exclusive ways of looking at humanity. So gender is purely a social construction. It's not rooted in biology. It's changeable. It's malleable. And that's why we have to have same-sex marriage.
You got these Christian organizations that are busting it every day to help people who don't have homes, and the Obama administration wants to tell them that's not enough. If a transgender person comes in there, you better accommodate them, or we're gonna go after you.
And we're going to cut off your funding, regardless of how many
homeless
people.
That's what President Obama's championing right now. That's what I'm saying. Go ahead.
Just imagine this for a second. Say this is a shelter that is set up for women who have been physically abused.
Right.
So they go to this shelter.
Right.
Now, what we're headed for here is, by order of the Obama administration, if someone comes and knocks on the door, a man, and says, I feel like a woman today.
Right.
You have to give him access to this woman's shelter.
And right. President Obama says, that's what I'm for.
And that's what I want. That's what the president says.
I want to roll with you bunch of Christian bigots. Mm-hmm. You think you're going to separate men and women? We're going to tear that one down because that's my new America. That's what he's saying. As I've said before, this is all theory. You can do this when you're somebody like President Obama. You golf, you go to the White House behind your fences and your Secret Service. He's never going to have to contend with the real world consequences of all these decisions. You tell me that if President Obama's two daughters were going to walk in the restroom at Target and two men were going to follow them in, do you think Obama would say, well, you know what, you guys go ahead. Go in there with my daughters to the restroom or changing area. I'm just going to stand out here. You know, no. He would say, whoa, just a minute, fellas. You're not going in there following my daughters in the bathroom, but you're not going to do it.
Right.
Now, that would be real life.
Right.
But he won't ever have to confront that. He can just do these edicts that are social engineering on the part of the LGBTQ community. QRS. All right, Fred, what else did you have real quick?
Well, real quick, a good decision from a federal judge in Texas last night. Public schools basically across the state of Texas opening this morning for the first day of school. A federal judge has at least put a temporary hold on an Obama administration directive, again telling public schools you must accommodate people according to what they say they are sexual-wise. Now, this decision came from U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor late last night. Texas had joined in with 12 other states in a lawsuit against this directive of public schools across the country that unless you accommodate transgenders, in other words, guy says, I feel like a girl today.
He can play on the women's sports team.
Yeah, he can play on the women's sports team. He can use the ladies' washroom. He can change clothes in the changing
areas.
This
is already happening in some places.
Under threat. The threat from the Obama administration is, if you don't do this, I may take away your federal funding.
Now, this is all done under Title IX funding.
But listen what the judge said. This is Judge Reed O'Connor, U.S. District Judge Reed O'Connor. Affects the whole country, all right, this ruling. He said under Title IX, which is the education law in this country, he says it's not ambiguous about sex being defined as the biological and anatomical differences between male and female students has determined at their birth. What he is saying there is Title IX itself, the education right. law of this land, is very clear about there are two sexes, male and female. You cannot, he's telling the Obama administration, on your own decide that there is somewhere in the middle there and you must accommodate that.
Right.
That's incredible. It's an incredible ruling. It really
and
is.
A lot of people,
sense ruling.
Well, and some people don't know that Title IX is clear. And the Obama administration has basically said, because Title IX says you cannot discriminate in education on the basis of sex. Okay, that has always been understood as you cannot discriminate on the basis of the differences between male and female. So if women want to have sports, if your university high school has sports for men, it's got to have boys, it's got to have sports for girls. That's the way it's always been understood. That is the way the law is written. And in fact, it states in there, this law, Title IX on sex differences, has nothing to do with erasing that distinction. And the Obama administration has simply ignored what the law says. Of course, they did this with Obamacare, too. We don't care what the law is. We're just going to do what we want to do. Mm-hmm. And finally, we got a federal judge who will rule on the basis of law, not on the basis of activism.
Exhaustive decision. The 38-page decision he issued last night. He also sided with Republican state leaders who argued that schools should have been allowed to weigh in before the directive was announced in May. He says you didn't even give the schools a chance, an opportunity to say, wait a minute, have you thought about this? But you know what, guys, and you've just been alluding to this, Tim, the Obama administration doesn't care what the school districts think about
right.
this.
Or how much it's going to cost, or what the fallout is.
No.
What's going on here, Ed? Well, by the way, we got a story on this?
Yes, it's front page, One News Now, right now.
OneNewsNow.com. What's going on here with this? This is very frustrating to see all this stuff ramrodded here in the last few months of the Obama administration. He does not care. He's unhinged now because he doesn't feel there's any consequences to pay for his.
Let me tell you what I think is really behind
this.
People can say, listen, you're over the top on this. Progressives want radical change in this country, and I think they absolutely hate the system of government that the founders established, because you know what? You have to convince your fellow American citizen to vote with you. That's the way the founders set it up. So what do progressives do? They take power away from we the people, and they give it to judges. Or in the case of President Obama, he said he was going to fundamentally transform America. You only get 8 years if you win two consecutive terms as president, which he did. 8 years is not long enough to fundamentally change this country. He's made a lot of changes, but he wants such radical change in this country. He has no choice but in the remaining months of his second administration to just start making, you know, passing, you know, dictating, making these presidential directives. Because he's got no other choice. He can't change the country fast enough in just 8 years. He's trying to change the U.S. military to allow transgenders in there without even asking his generals, without even asking what the fallout is going to be, because he's running out of time.
But
that's what
does he want the destruction of the country?
No. He wants to transform the country. That's what progressives will say. Progressives will say, I don't want to destroy America. I just want to change it.
Which is what he said.
Right.
When he came into office. Change the country, change the world.
Right.
He said it over and over and over again.
But I guess I'm kind of discouraged to think that twice our fellow Americans said, I'm for that. I'm for radically transforming America too. Sign me up. That means we're outnumbered. Those of us who are traditionalists, who are conservatives, who are constitutionalists.
Yeah,
we're outnumbered.
What the president did is it's extremely crafty, and this is the progressive way. You remember he lied about his opposition to same-sex marriage.
Yes, intentionally.
Intentionally. Now that comes from one of his
David Axelrod.
Axelrod said, "Yeah, we knew the president was in favor of it, but we just couldn't say it. We needed the support of black churches." So they lie to the voter.
Obamacare, same thing.
Obamacare, the same thing. Remember the the analysts who said the stupid Americans?
Yeah.
We had to lie to them to get them to be in favor of this.
The Iranian agreement, the same thing. They lied. They said they lied there. Remember that guy saying that they tricked people?
Yeah.
They tricked.
So that was the
deal. So you're saying that a lot of Americans were...
duped. Well, they
a certain percentage.
It's irresponsible not to dig in, but this is what's happened in the disintegration of the journalism, institution of journalism in this country. They used to be a watchdog. They used to vet both sides and say, well, this is what the candidates really believe. Hey, you said this, but you know, you really believe this, because they have chosen sides and root for the Democratic Party and the progressive side. It leaves it up to most Americans to do this digging. That's why this ministry is so important for so many people. What they hear on the radio, what they're hearing now, they didn't know anything of this.
Right.
Most of them don't know what HUD ordered homeless shelters to do. They have to find out from places like this, because they're living their lives and raising their families. They don't have time to dig down into these kinds of issues.
But there's one other factor, and you hear it often on our radio station here, the numbers of Christians who did not vote in the last two elections. We're talking millions, millions of Christians who did not vote.
Well, that might happen this time, too.
Right.
Well, but as you said it, Tim, elections have consequences.
If
you elect to stay home and not vote, then do you have a right to come in and say, I don't like what Obama did?
I won't even listen to someone who does not vote. They start complaining. I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I don't want to hear it. You don't want to vote. You live with the consequences.
Right.
Let the rest of us fight on the front lines, and we'll do our best to direct the country.
So you think, Ed, that President Obama, part of the way that secular progressives or secular humanists, secular liberals, advance their cause is to deceive people, because they know they can't get by with it straight up on the issue at hand. That's what they do.
That's how the progressive movement in this country changed the foundations of this nation away from natural law to their own progressive ideology. They did that without asking anybody's permission.
Just like they've done here with the schools.
Yes.
And the homeless shelters.
Right.
You better accommodate transgendered or else. Or else we're going to make it life hard for you.
Some girl's going to come home from school and say, there's a boy in our dressing room today.
Right.
And the school said there's nothing we can do about it. And the parents are going to go, when did that happen?
They're going to say, because it came down from Washington, D.C.
That's right.
Which is a whole other issue.
Nothing we can do.
A whole other issue. I'll talk about that when we get back, about what's happening with the centralization of power in our government. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Tom DeLay and Wallace Henley, co-authors of Revival, Revolution, Rebirth, a radical call from the former Majority Leader of the United States House of Representatives. And we'll talk to Gregory Baumer, co-author of God and Money, How We Discovered True Riches at Harvard Business School. That's next time on Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR and online at AFR.net.
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and commentary next. A violent mob terrorized Donald Trump supporters happened over the weekend at a Minneapolis fundraiser. The mob pelted the crowd with garbage. Punches were thrown. They spit on elderly women. The anti-American miscreants even burned Old Glory. But the mainstream media ignored the story. There were no breaking news banners. There were no anchors demanding Hillary Clinton denounce the violence. Police told local news outlets not a single person was arrested. Fires were set. People were assaulted. One person was robbed. But nobody was thrown in jail. Were the police given orders to stand down? If so, who gave that order? Questions the mainstream media ought to be asking, but they did not and they will not. Because what happened in Minneapolis does not fit their narrative, that Trump and his supporters are morally tainted. Be safe out there, Trump fans. Be safe. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. So we've had good news, bad news, the first half hour of this program.
We talked lasagna and meatballs, you know. That wasn't bad.
We did have a good ruling from one federal judge.
Yes.
Stopping one of President Obama's. What was it? What did he stop?
Well, this is the directive to all public schools.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and a bunch of states are upset about this because, you know, without warning, they're basically told now that we got to let men on girls' sports teams and young men can go into changing rooms.
An edict, if you will, a mandate can go out of such ramifications by the president. That is a king.
Yes. Well, you know, and here's the thing. We've talked about this on the program before. The Constitution says executive branch, you know, legislative branch, judicial branch. But we have this hybrid with all these regulatory agencies,
right.
The Environmental Protection Agency, you know, Housing and Urban Development. We have all these regulatory agencies created by Congress, funded by Congress, but run by the executive branch. And so there is supposed to be constitutional oversight, but these departments,
they're government unto themselves.
They write their own regulations. They're given the freedom to write their own regulations. Nobody's voted in. You know, you have to go through a congressperson to
the average congressman doesn't know what these agencies
are. They don't know what they're doing. So the Constitution, this is a hybrid between the executive and the legislative branch, and it really is like a fourth branch of government. They're huge. These bureaucracies are huge. And they have growing power, and they're insulated from public protection. What, are you going to tell a career bureaucrat, hey, you can't do that? I'm going to vote in somebody else, and he's going to replace you. No, these people stay in their positions administration after administration. They're untouchable.
So you have what we have in our country today, and I don't know, it's going to take some time to get back to the original intent, if you will, but you have a legislative, you have a... Did I say this already in this half hour? I don't think
last,
so.
Last.
Okay.
I just said
you have a legislative, our federal government I'm talking about. You have a legislative, you have a executive, and you have a judicial, and then you have a regulatory.
Yeah,
or bureaucracy. So you have four branches of government.
Right.
Constitutionally, you're only supposed to have three, but our federal government has grown so large that now, and the congressional oversight of these agencies is weak. Okay,
it's a joke.
It's a joke, and when the Republican leadership says to the Democrats, including the White House, don't worry, do whatever you want. We're never going to cut off your funding. Remember when John Boehner and Mitch McConnell did that?
Right.
They said, we're never going to shut down government no matter what.
Right.
When you say that, what you're saying to the other side is do whatever you want. We're not stopping you. And here you have the power of the purse lies with the Republicans. The only one people who can stop some of this stuff, and they're unwilling to use the power of the purse, then you get an insurrection inside the Republican Party because John Boehner ends up having to go.
Right.
That's part of the big war inside the Republican Party is the, quote, establishment will not do anything to stop the liberals, including President Obama, by using the power of the purse. Instead, they say, no, we're going to give them, we're going to give them all the money they want to do whatever they want. And because if we're blamed for shutting down the government, it's going to cost us
seats in Congress. They won't even fight for a 1% decrease in spending. They don't even fight for a spending freeze.
You want to know why the Republican Party has been in trouble with its base, and part what led to Donald Trump's nomination is that people don't trust the average Republican voter out here does not trust the Republican leadership or the quote establishment in Washington. Do we have our guest on with us yet? And you know what happened was, we talked about, we're waiting on our guest. What happened was in 2010, there was a historic reaction to this kind of garbage. Okay, this kind of nonsense is what I call it. That is not fight. In 2010, the changeover in the House of Representatives was historic, as I say. As people saw what President Obama's agenda was, they voted in Republican conservatives to go to Washington and oppose it.
Right.
Well, so you had this huge number of troops, if that's what you want to call them, if you want to look at this in a battle type analogy, who go to Washington, you know, sent by the people to go and stop a lot of this Obama administration policies. This was after Obamacare, I think. Yes, it was. And so the troops get up there, and John Boehner and Mitch McConnell basically ask them what they're there for. Who sent you? Why are you here? Things are going good right now. You know, am I right?
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, they weren't going to be getting, if they're going to push things, they weren't going to be getting prime spots in this committee or that committee. They're going to get buried or ignored. Now, this is a historic, I think, a historic battle between the Republican establishment and the grassroots that want smaller government. They want constitutional government. They want founding fathers type, world.
And the Republican establishment, and that's sometimes hard to define because a lot of people who are in the Republican establishment, good old boys club, when it comes election time, they want to pretend that they are constitutional conservatives.
Right.
You know, the closer it comes to their election, the more they become all of a sudden limited government people.
Yes. With a $20 trillion debt.
Right. You got that combined with a lot of Americans now are content with, and we've been with big federal government,
right.
even Republicans.
Right.
You know, big federal government programs.
Well, this didn't happen overnight. This was decades, really, the story of the entire 20th century in America, virtually.
The growth of the federal government.
From Woodrow Wilson, and the progressive ideology.
The power.
Yeah, it took a century
to do
it.
I don't even know if the 10th Amendment matters anymore.
Oh, it doesn't to Washington. It doesn't to judges. So it matters to Tea Party people and other conservatives who say, hey, what about that 10th Amendment there?
It might as well not even be there.
Otherwise, it's a joke. They ignore it.
Yeah, and you know our founders, one of the main concerns they had was resist centralization of power, because
corral it.
It corrupts.
Restrain it.
It corrupts. It's dangerous, and yet so many in our government and our leaders, both Republican and certainly Democrats, they believe in centralized power. That's how they control things, and they control people. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Dave Vitagliano. You want to welcome our guest?
Absolutely. I want to welcome Joel Pollack, who is Senior Editor-at-Large and in-house counsel at Breitbart News. He's author of the book See No Evil, 19 Hard Truths the Left Can't Handle. Joel, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you.
So Joel, let me get this straight. Senior editor-at-large and in-house counsel. So you correct everyone's grammar, and you're a lawyer. So how popular? You get invited to any of the parties at Breitbart? Or?
Yeah, we just call my department the Department of Corrections.
The Department of Corrections. I love it. All right, See No Evil. It's got the cover has the iconic three monkeys over there. See no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. Do you really think that people on the left are pretending that things aren't so? That this is a book that basically says that left wingers they believe lies are true. Why do you think this book was necessary? Tongue in cheek, by the way.
I think it's necessary because of the sheer assault on free speech in America today from the left, where you're told that certain ideas can't be discussed, certain things are just off the table. And you go issue by issue, as I do in the book, you see how that works case by case by case. And there are a lot of people writing about this right now. It's a hot new topic because in recent years, you've seen the acceleration of this kind of thing where people are told to shut up if the left doesn't like what they're saying. But, you know, when you're told by somebody that you can't talk or you're offending someone, the natural reaction of most people is to examine their own behavior and say, well, gee, maybe I really am doing something wrong. But the reason it's happening, as I describe in the book, is because the left's own ideas don't work. And so rather than having to defend them, you know, they don't want to talk about Obamacare. They want to just talk about how Republican healthcare plans don't work or haven't been tried or whatever. They'll make it about the problem with conservatives rather than about the problem with their own ideas. And it's very hard for them to point to anything that they've done or are doing that is working. And so they would much rather talk about how the real problem is your prejudice than about how the real problem is their lack of imagination. And I think that's why this book is necessary. We're seeing a lot of that in this election, for example. How often has Hillary Clinton had to answer questions from the media?
She doesn't. She doesn't do press conferences.
Right. So what they've tried to do is make Donald Trump's ideas problematic, but they don't look at Hillary Clinton's ideas, which include some of the worst ideas out there. I mean, you name it, from social issues to economic issues. On the economy, for example, she didn't say anything, by the way, in her Democratic National Convention speech. In her nomination acceptance, she never mentioned the economy once. But she has proposed to do exactly what Obama is doing, but raise taxes and spend more money, which isn't going so well even under Obama. So how is that going to work under Clinton?
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It hasn't worked. But the left and the media really is part of the left at the moment, they don't want to talk about that. Instead, they want to nitpick at Donald Trump's tax plan, whether or not his tax brackets make sense, et cetera. But there's no real scrutiny of the left, and this is part of an overall strategy on every single issue. They shut down conservative ideas and make conservative ideas the problem, but the left-wing ideas are never really challenged.
Joel Pollack is our guest, P-O-L-L-A-K. The book is titled See No Evil, 19 Hard Truths the Left Can't Handle, published by Regnery, available wherever books are sold. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Hey, Joel, I want to, the National Electoral College map shows, you know, it has been shown for the last three cycles, that see presidential cycles, the uphill battle that any Republican is, you know, has to face. Now, Republicans can do well on governor's races, congressional races, state legislatures, anywhere. In fact, they've done really well, conservatives and Republicans, over the last decade. But presidential politics is a different matter because of the Electoral College map. I guess what related to what you're, is there a hard truth maybe that we need to hear? Do the Democrats have a majority? By Democrats, I mean people who buy into these liberal left ideas. Have we moved now from being a center right country to where we are a center left country?
I don't think so. But look, Stalin said or understood that the point of propaganda was never to convince people of its truth. The point of propaganda is to make all other ideas unthinkable. So it's not that people have actually moved left. It's just that they're denied the opportunity to really understand the right. And things like basic love of your country is now described as a kind of offensive, toxic nationalism. The idea that people deserve their success is described as a form of racial prejudice. The idea that the family is the best environment to raise children, the traditional family, that's described as bigotry. And so all of these very normal things are now considered offensive and harmful. It's not that the left-wing alternative is so great. You know, you don't hear people talking about how great the alternative is because they know that it can't compete. I mean, does a state-planned economy work anywhere in the world? Nobody's talking about Venezuela and how we should repeat that experiment here. But we do know all the problems of capitalism very well. And that's because of our education system, because of our culture, and because of our media. And they basically allow this to happen. It's not that the country has moved left. It's just that it no longer is in touch with traditional conservative ideas because it hasn't been told them. And the great missed opportunity of the last 25 years has been the opportunity to educate younger Americans about why we fought the Cold War and why communism was not just a failed system, but an evil system. And we haven't taught people why it was immoral. So people are growing up thinking that the only problem with the Soviet Union is that they made some administrative or political mistakes, not that their system was actually wrong and immoral. And we haven't convinced many people that government does a great job. There's a recent survey out from Reason magazine which shows that 2/3 of young people distrust government. So you think that means people are moving in a more conservative direction. But also 2/3 of young people, of millennials, want the government to do all this stuff for them, you know, provide health care and so forth. So there's a distrust of government, but a sense that only government can do it. We haven't taught people enough about free enterprise and why it works, why it pulled hundreds of millions of people out of poverty in the last few decades. We do not have a clear enough message, partly because of deliberate interference by the left. We do not have a clear enough message about why our way of life works. And as a result, it's not that people are moving left, it's just that they're losing touch with their foundation.
Our guest is Joel Pollack, who's senior editor-at-large at Breitbart.com. Breitbart News is a good conservative news website. He's also author of the book See No Evil, 19 Hard Truths the Left Can't Handle. Joel, what I like about your book is that you take almost all the hot-button issues, and let me just read through some of these: guns, the minimum wage, Israel, climate change, the two sexes, marriage, the Constitution, race, immigration, so on and so forth. And what you do is you start off the chapter by listing the lie, and then you come back with the entire chapter talking about the truth. So you have propositional statements that propose what is what we view on from the conservative community's perspective is the lie, the untruth. The one side of the argument that progressives want, and then you come back and spend a chapter talking about why it's a lie and where leftists go wrong. Let me ask you this. Do you think, now this is a loaded question, I understand that, but do you think the left, by and large, not every single one, but do you think they actually believe the lie or that they know it's a lie and they don't care?
You know, I'm terribly sorry to do this to you. I'm speaking to you from my home in California, and we have a family situation that's just come up.
Okay.
I'm going to actually have to cut the interview short.
All right, Joe.
I hope to come back sometime and answer that question for you, but I've got to deal with something right now. It's just 10 to 9 in the morning, and everyone's trying to get out the door, and we've had a babysitter cancel on us.
We understand.
So
hope everything is well.
Another time. Thanks.
Okay, you bet. Well, that's, I guess, folks, that's Joel Pollack, P-O-L-L-O-K. Sounds like he might have an emergency situation. So, folks, as you feel led, pray for that. We have no idea what it is. Hope
right.
It is not serious. We'll have Joel back on to talk a little bit more about his book, See No Evil, 19 Hard Truths the Left Can't Handle. So, Tim,
go ahead.
I was going to ask you, what do you think? You think leftists believe, because the way Joel has this set up is in for all these chapters, 19 truths, 19 issues, he posits the lie and then the truth. You think leftists believe the lie? In other words, they believe that this their side is just as true as we believe our side is true? Or do you think they know it's a lie, but they don't care, you know, the end justifies the means?
I think it's that.
And justifies the means?
I think it's that more than the other. I think that on a lot of these issues, as we've seen, as secular as our country has become, and we have moved in that direction the last 20 years or so, 30 years or so, still so much of the agenda of the left in this country has to rely on judges imposing
right
rather than winning at the ballot box,
because they can't win at the ballot box on these issues.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Even as secular as we have become and as morally confused as we have become on a lot of these issues, whether it's you know, quote, same-sex marriage, whether it's immigration issues, illegal immigration. You talk about an example of how the media and the liberal left confuse issues. When you're talking about illegal, when the question should be, what should we do to stop illegal immigration? You notice how they always talk about immigrants?
Yes.
That's a prime example.
Right.
Of how they conflate, is that the right word?
Yes.
And confuse the issue among the minds of the American people. Fred mentioned the way that the media can try to sway public opinion. And this is an example of that. Never when I'm hearing about, what to do about illegal immigration. We have people coming in here to our country. We don't know who they are, and they're coming in by the hundreds of thousands annually across the southern border
right.
of the United States. And anything you say to confront that issue, you're a xenophobe. Back to my point before I get on to a rant on that, they want to say immigrants. Then they'll right. talk. You want to talk about illegal immigration, stopping illegal immigration. They want to say, my grandma
right.
came from Sicily
right.
and became a great American. We're a nation of immigrants.
Yes.
We're a melting pot, and you're a bigot opposed to our traditions as Americans.
Yeah.
You see how they
right.
You see how that worked right there?
Yeah, how do we get into a discussion about legal immigrants changing the country when the discussion should be about illegal
right,
immigration?
Right, right. And that's it's intentional, because if you focus on securing our border and having knowing who's coming into our country and not just letting people flood into our country and be turned loose, then the majority of Americans are with you.
Right. In fact, I think the majority of Americans
but if they misunderstand the
securing
issue.
The border. Now the debate after that is, well, what do we do with all the illegal immigrants who are here now? They've had kids. The kids have grown up for 20 years. They, you know, essentially have been here all their lives. That's a debate. I mean, that's a separate debate.
Right.
I think most Americans say, well, of course we should know who's coming into this country.
Right.
And of course we should have a secure border. I think that's the majority position in this country, but that's not what they want to talk about.
Let me turn the question on you. Why do you think the left in this country, and some on the right, but certainly the left, the political left in this country, why do you think they won't open borders?
Well,
why would you be opposed to securing the border?
I think it's probably a combination of explanations for that. One would be, I think, that the Chamber of Commerce type people, you know, those who run businesses who take advantage of poor people coming across the border so they can maximize their profits, they're going to want unrestricted flow. So when they need to hire people, they can hire them and they don't have to wait. They don't have to wait 6 months to get people, you know, a greater number.
So a lot of American businesses want to use illegal people here because they can pay them less.
Yeah, I think it's the dirty little secret. I mean, that's basically what they're saying is we want to let illegals in because
you think that, so that's one reason.
That's one reason. I think there are the George Soros kind of people who don't believe in borders, period. They just believe we should be one big global government with none of this nationalism interfering. And so if you can mix America, for example, with people from all over the, you know, the
Western
Hemisphere.
Tear down the borders of America?
Yeah, if you can make America filled with people from all different types of country, they won't think they're Americans anymore. You see? So nationalism is always a huge threat to globalists because they don't want French people being resistant to the EU. They don't like what the Great Britain just did because, you know, the British saying, look, we're Great Britain. We want to make up our
And that's why they hate Donald Trump.
And that's what, they hate Donald Trump for a lot of reasons. But nationalism is a threat to globalism because it causes people to be resistant to the globalist plan.
Yeah. In combination with what you just said, I think liberals won't open borders because if you flood America with hundreds of thousands of immigrants, who are most of which are poor, illiterate,
come from socialist countries,
eventually you make these people legal. All right. First of all, you make them legal. You give them, in the name of compassion, you give them access to all your social programs.
Right.
So you swamp hospitals and
public schools,
welfare, and all this. But the ultimate objective would be to get them to vote Democrat.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
And once you get enough of them to be able to vote Democrat, you overwhelm the natives. You follow me here?
Right.
You outnumber the people who are Americans and have been here historically for centuries, decades and centuries, with new people who have no attachment to the American experience or dream.
Right.
They just can now vote because to prevent them from voting is, you know, so they get, that's their ultimate objective.
And
you can overwhelm the system.
And a lot of Democrats just don't like America. The kind of founding principles, they despise the founders.
Right.
A lot of them.
So
not
they
all
welcome
of them.
This. Right. This
good riddance.
The idea that you would make the Republican Party obsolete. You get enough.
Right.
You flood America with enough immigrants, you will make the Republican Party obsolete. I think that's the ultimate objective.
They're
going to change Florida by bringing all the Puerto Ricans in.
Yeah. And that sounds like we're being xenophobic. We're not saying it because they're Puerto Ricans.
No.
We're saying because they come from a country that's steeped in socialism.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the Democrats are using them for that purpose. We'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.